The title of this session is Helping Students Set Personal Application Goals. And when I was thinking about this session, and we talk about setting goals, personal application goals, I was just thinking of I was thinking about watching my son playing a game of soccer this past winter. And if you've ever seen 5 and 6 year olds play soccer, it's a real challenging sport for them to be able to get the ball into the goal. And they spend most of their time running around, kicking and running into each other. But on one rare occasion, my son happened to be right in front of the goal, and the ball comes trickling over right in front of him, right in front of the goal. And as he swings his foot out to kick it, he misses it, and the ball keeps rolling on past. And I'm sitting there on the sidelines, yelling at the top of my voice, saying, "Kick the ball, you know." And if I were able to, you know, I would have been out there kicking the ball in the goal for him, you know, helping him be successful. And when we talk about working with students and helping them set personal application goals, there's probably many times where we could sit down and say, "Man, can't you see? This is what you need to do." And yet, if we do that, we are stepping in and doing something that we are supposed to be teaching them how to do. It's like if I'm standing on the sidelines, I want to get in there and I want to help my son be successful. I want to do it for him. But if I'm doing it for him, then he's not going to develop the skills that he needs to be developing. And so hopefully through this discussion, we will come up with some tools that we can help you with in setting, or some principles and guidelines that we would say these are good to follow in setting personal application goals. Just in review, in talking about what we are wanting to accomplish here, the statement for the purpose of Teen Challenge describes pretty well what we want to accomplish as far as setting personal application goals. We want to move that student towards personal application. We want to help bridge the gaps that are in their life of knowing what they know to what they understand to what they're applying. And between each one of those, there's a bridge that needs to take place so that they, what they know, they are also applying. Yesterday, Greg was making mention of a student who knew a lot, but he was not applying it in his life, and he was not being successful. In fact, it was causing him to, that was the downfall of his Christian experience at that point, was that he was not applying what he was knowing. And it also, goals serve the purpose of balance, balanced growth, creating a balance in the individual's life so that he is making growth, so that it is not just sporadic, but it is balanced. If we were to define the word goal, how would you define it? What would be a definition you would give to goal? Something to work towards, okay. Any other definitions?
A target.
Target?
A future achievement. That's a far down the road.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
A hope or a desired expectation.
Okay. Yeah.
Something you can put your talents to use that.
Okay. And if you are working, yeah, go ahead.
I would say bringing into reality a person's intentions or desires.
That's good. Sometimes it's just kind of out there in the future, and I think a goal is something if we can help them to come to the point where they can see this is reality. It can become a reality in my life. I can grow. I can apply this in my life. It can work. Okay? When we look at goal setting, and we're relating this basically to Teen Challenge, but also for those of you who are involved in other types of Christian ministry, I think goal setting is a very important part of every Christian's life to creating a balanced growth taking place in their life. in looking at the personal studies curriculum, there are many different areas where we are setting goals in. Now, if you take a look at that list, it gets rather long. Scripture memory, personal reading, character quality, Bible reading, special projects, Sunday sermon, learning contracts, group studies, and the list goes on. And sometimes we might hear the phrase, we're getting gold to death, you know, or we're constantly setting goals. And sometimes it may take on a negative connotation. But I think if we are willing to take a look at an approach that we can use to incorporating goal setting into all of these studies, it can take on a certain direction and we can see where we are going with goal setting. I observed, for example, a student who was working on one of his scripture memorization worksheets, and with that, he is to put list three ways he can put that goal into practice, or that verse into practice. And I observed him erasing his goals, and I said, why are you erasing your goals? And he said, they're not right. And I said to myself, they're not right. How can a goal be wrong? How can an idea be wrong? When we are teaching, when we are communicating with our students, I think it's important that we are not communicating that a goal is wrong necessarily. It may be incomplete, or it may be too big or unrealistic, but an idea that this individual has come up with is probably not wrong. It's just a matter of incorporating into it certain parts that we want to see accomplished. So there's several things I want us to take a look here. One is the structure of a goal. Two is the characteristics of a goal. Three are some different areas that we can set goals in. Four would be a measuring process of achievement, and then five would be the attitude. So we'll see how much time we can, or how quickly we can get through these. I want to use some examples as we go along. But the first one involves the structure. The structure of a goal. And there are four basic questions that are discussed in the Scripture Memorization Class Manual on page 6 that describe what we are looking for, or four questions that we would like the student to answer when they are setting a goal. One is, what am I saying I want to accomplish? Two is, how am I going to accomplish that? And three would be, when am I going to do this? And four is, who else is going to be involved? And it's not that necessarily each of those questions is going to be answered in those goals, but I think we need to see that they are incorporating several of those questions into the goal. One of the ways that I have found this to be beneficial is to sit down with the student after he has completed his scripture memorization worksheet, or let's say he's working on his character quality, and he's up to activity 6, and he is setting goals on how to put this character quality or this verse into practice in his life, is to sit down with him and say, okay, let's go over the goals that you've set down here. And I would have him read his goals, and I would just listen to his goals, and then I'd say, okay, let's turn over to page 6. I say, let's evaluate your goals. I'd like you to evaluate your goals. By having him evaluate his goals, he is doing the learning. He is doing the judging, so to speak. I'm not the one saying, well, that's not right, you know, or you need to change this. But by having him sit down and say, okay, let's look at that first question. It says, what will I do? Okay, what does your goal say you will do? Let's take an example here. Here's a goal. To help me deal with my anger, I will write down what happened the next time I get angry. Okay, so ask the person, what does your goal say you're going to do? Okay, if we were to take a look at this goal, let me read it again. To help me deal with my anger, I am going to write down what happened the next time I get angry. What would you say is the what? What is he wanting to accomplish in that goal? Yeah.
Understand where his anger comes from.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right, he's saying, I want to deal with my anger. I want to control my anger. Okay, what would be the how? How is he going to accomplish that in this goal?
That would
Okay, and what is he going to be writing down?
Okay.
All right. Yeah.
What makes him angry?
Okay. And when is that going to take place? When is he going to do this?
Next time he gets mad.
Okay, next time he gets mad. All right. So basically, he's answering three questions. What I want to do? I want to deal with my anger. When am I going to do, or how am I going to do that? By writing down the next time I get angry, or what happened the next time I get angry. When am I going to do that? It'll probably be the next time he gets angry. That way, he is specifically answering. He's got a what, he's got a direction, he's got a how, he's got a means of getting there, and then when is there's a cutoff point. Can that goal be accomplished in the next day? I think the goal, we need to help the students see that they should be setting goals that can be achieved very quickly, within a day. Can you reach this goal in a day? If you can't, maybe we need to think of how we could. So those are four questions that we want to ask them to ask themselves as they are completing or setting goals. Is there any question on these four questions here? Rich?
The who. I love to stress the students that they've got to involve someone in their goals besides themselves. In the sense of this book, if we suggest to the student that he come up with someone who's going to, after you've written it down, who are you going to discuss it with? Who are you going to take this to and talk it over with to get a who involved? Because I think there's a tendency for the student to make this goal setting purely subjective, me and God type thing. And he forgets to interact with people.
Good point. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd just like to add that I think that generally these men that we work with are known for making goodwill resolutions in goodwill and good faith, and yet they neglect to monitor the progress on it or follow through on it, and we attach some kind of a monitoring to it. Would help us to monitor their progress in themselves to see whether they're even keeping their resolutions.
Okay. Yeah. It helps them to be accountable. It's a sense of accountability, too. Okay. Let's look at some characteristics of goals. There's probably many that we could look at, but I think we'll narrow it down to six characteristics. One is that it is simple, two that it is specific, three it is practical, four it is meaningful, five it is measurable, and six it is helpful. Number one, it is simple. It says one thing. It does not use the word and. It's making it simple is keeping it uncomplicated. Let's look at an example here. Again, I go back to the things that help me the most in working with students and helping them set goals. This is one that you may have heard before. My goal is to draw closer to God, and whenever I am tempted, to remember to pray and realize that it is Satan that is tempting me, and. Sounds real spiritual, but I question how simple it is, how simple that is to accomplish. The word and is meaning I'm going to do more than one thing. And I think when we're talking about something that can be done in a day, letting it be simple could mean just one thing. Let's just work on one thing today. Two, it's specific. It's not general. It clearly states the point. Personalizing it, making it direct, and using specific wording. Maybe the example of I will draw closer to God. Okay? That's my goal today. I will draw closer to God. Or today I'm going to overcome my anger. Or I'm going to deal with my anger today. Okay? Not real specific. It's not real specific. It doesn't tell me what I'm going to do. How can I draw closer to God? I had a student write down a goal recently. He said, my goal is to be more loving, gentle, patient, self-controlled, and it went on and on. And the instructions specifically said, what is one thing you can do today And so in his mind, he was saying, I'm going to do these things. And I don't know if he was, it was good intention or what. But I question what he was going to do to be more loving or more gentle. And probably just to come back and say, let's narrow that down. Let's take one of those. Okay, if you're going to be loving today, okay, what is one specific thing you can do today to be loving? What would be an example? What is one thing you can do today to be loving? Yeah.
Show love to someone you don't particularly care about.
Okay, and how would you, what could you do to that person, or how could you demonstrate that to that person so they would know that it would be
usually
something loving?
People that if I know myself personally, if I feel that way about somebody, let's just say in church, I avoid them and they know it, or they suspect it, let's say, and I would make an intention to speak with them and pray for them and speak nicely to them,
okay,
whatever the case may be in that certain situation.
And you're talking about action that you are doing, an action that you're going to take. And that is visible to that person and probably others around you. That happens at the center, too. Certain guys will isolate themselves from each other, or girls will avoid each other. And if you're going to be loving, if you're going to talk to that individual, if you're going to step out and talk to that individual, it's going to be obvious not only to them, but to the other members of the group also. Okay. It's practical. Can I complete it today? If I cannot complete the goal today, it may be too big. If it's a personal application goal that we want them to reach this week. Another question is, if we're wanting them to complete it today, maybe they need to complete it tomorrow. Maybe they need to work on it all week so that it's not just completing a goal, but it's actually changing behavior. We're talking about helping them to change the way they're living, the way they're thinking. Putting that goal into practice once may not be enough. It may need to be done several times. So is it practical? Also, is it meaningful? Does it relate to my life today? Today I will tithe $50 when we go to church. Well, or if I get rich, I'll remember to give $50 in my tithes at church. If I don't have $50 to give today, then it's a very non-meaningful goal in my life. And sometimes students will say, well, when I get home, I need to put this into practice. Or when I get back out there, I need to put this into practice. And I think we need to help them to see that right now, where they're at, is reality. This is reality. Because
right.
If they don't live this in reality, there is going to be no reality out there. There's going to be no life out there as a Christian. They don't learn to live it here. So is it practical? And let's see, I moved down to meaningful, didn't I? I'm sorry. Also, is it measurable? Student says, what do you mean by measuring a goal? How long is it? And I say, well, let's look at it this way. Okay, if you have a table here and I asked you to build a table this size or even just to get the length of this table, that's your goal, to get the length of this table. You're going to have to use something to find out how long this table is. You're going to have to use a tape measure or a ruler of some kind. So you're using a tool to measure the length of that table. How easy is it to measure that table? Not very hard. Not very hard. Okay. Sometimes our goals may be very difficult to measure. For example, the goal to draw closer to God. How do I know I'm drawing closer to God today? How will I measure that drawing closer to God? Let me just pose that question. How would you measure whether or not you're drawing closer to God today? How could you measure that? Yeah. Okay. Coming back to the goal that you set. If I accomplish that today, that could be a way of drawing closer to God. If I do show love to that individual, who I normally probably wouldn't, or maybe I don't, If I accomplish that, that could be a way of drawing me closer to God. Yeah. Okay. We're looking at several things here. When we talk about measuring a goal, we're saying, what am I going to measure? It kind of comes back to this. What am I going to do today? And how I'm going to do that is going to involve the tool that I'm going to use to measure that. Let's take an example here. We had a student recently who fell asleep in church. One of his disciplines involved taking notes in church to help him with the problem that he had. Sometimes we give discipline just to smack the guy in his hands, but I think we need to also give discipline that involves helping that person draw or grow. So the goal was this. I am going to take notes on the sermon at church this Sunday to help me stay awake. So, what are we measuring here? Staying awake. Okay? What are we using to measure that with? Taking notes. How will we know if he has taken notes or not? He's got something on paper, right? He's going to have something on paper to indicate that he's taken notes. He may also want to make sure that he hasn't copied someone else's notes at the end of the church to show to you. But we're saying something measurable, something tangible to show for my growth. Now, sometimes that may be in actions. It may be in words. It may be in conversation. And then the sixth one here is it helpful? Is it helpful to me? Is it really helping me draw closer to God? Those are six characteristics. Are there any questions that you would like to pose on those six characteristics? By the way, they are on the back of your scripture memorization manual. And I use them a lot when I'm sitting down with a student. If he is having difficulty setting a goal, I would sit down and say, okay, let's take a look at this goal here. Here's an example of a general goal. And here's how they made it specific to show him how he can do it and to take an idea that he has. For example, the general goal that I read earlier, we gave the example of how you can make it more specific, is to take a part of that goal. My goal is to draw closer to God and. Okay, to take a part of that goal and say, okay, you've got a good idea here. Drawing closer to God is something very relevant. How can you do that today? And to help that person work through an idea that they've already set down. That way you're not saying, that's no good. You need to erase all that. And come up with three new goals. And the student goes back to his desk and says, well, if those are wrong, those are my best ideas.
Yeah.
What am I gonna come up with now? And we just lead them into frustration. So something to see is that our role as a teacher is to help guide them into setting some good goals. Very quickly, I want to comment on this. This was brought up last year, and it was very helpful to me in helping the student to think, in helping the student broaden his scope of goals and types of goals, the areas that he could set goals in. He could set goals that deal with attitudes, ways of thinking. What thinking patterns do you need to change? Behavior, maybe there's certain actions that he's constantly being corrected for or receiving write-ups for, or whatever type of word you use at your center to correct people with. Reaction goals. Sometimes students have a real tendency to use this type a lot. Well, when this happens, then I will do this. Or if this happens today, then I will do this. And I question whether or not they should use that goal very much because if tomorrow you come back and say, well, did you complete your goal? I say, well, it didn't happen. Situation didn't come up. So, me, that type of goal is not a very good one to use all the time. Emotional goals. Goals dealing with how to help them express their feelings of joy, love, forgiveness, anger. Relationship goals. Interaction with other students. Maybe they isolate themselves. Okay, so maybe the goal could be tomorrow or this next week or this next month. I want you to work on, during prayer time, I want you to go around and I want you to start praying with some of the other students. may not involve direct communication, but at least a way of helping me to be involved in someone else's life. Family goal, relationship could deal with family or friends. Authority goals, relating to authority, learning to accept authority, learning to apply and practice obedience. Responsibility goals, learning how to accept responsibilities, put them into practice. Is there any discussion on this area here? We can go a lot more into depth on that. But
I'd like to make a comment on how helpful this is to our students. Long before I saw a Teen Challenge curriculum, I was doing a program on objectives and goals to find out that most of them had no goals at all. The main goal was to be drug-free. That was their goal for life, and could not go beyond that because of the failure that they experienced time in and time out. And as I was doing this, again, I was so excited how this kind of put it all together, and I think that it offers a great service to our students to use that.
One other on characteristics. I found out I had to send the whole class to the dictionary and look up what the word specific means. I have no idea.
That's good.
Matter of fact, I'm trying to find a street word that'll replace it. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Okay. Rich, did you have a comment?
Yeah, the importance of keeping it practical and suitable today, so they can get some success under their belt.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So you can't, at the end of the day, tap them on the shoulder and say, hey, I like it. I saw the way you went that's fine with that for the today. That was one of your goals, and I think you're doing a good job. Something you can pat them on the back at the end of the day. And they can pat themselves on the back at the end of the day. They're so used to it. As you said, they're so used to failing. And they're so used to thinking, well, I really couldn't do it even if I tried anyway. To narrow their goals down to something really practical they can get done today and that they can do.
Okay. Yeah.
Also, this is training them to take huge problems that seem insurmountable, mm-hmm. breaking it down into small bites mm-hmm. that they can easily grasp mm-hmm. and achieve.
Mm-hmm.
And just like climbing a mountain, you do it in steps. Mm-hmm. And that's what life is in Christianity, especially in pursuit of holiness and so on. It's very much goal-oriented.
Sure. Yeah. Good. Good point.
Another quickie on the reactional goal being not a very good goal. You know, if stuff happens, I will do this. Also, some goals to try to avoid is any goal involving prayer or reading my Bible. Now, that sounds blasphemous, maybe. But they do enough praying and Bible reading in other areas of the program. I think their goals should be more action-oriented. More again, I suggest more involved in other people oriented. What can we actually do with others?
Mm-hmm. Good point. Yeah.
Could I suggest under characteristics that you should have a cutoff date so we have a completion? I find that my fellows mm-hmm. need to have a sense of completing something. And if it's many goals or should be goals that you work on for life, if they can complete something so that they can say, hey, I've already done this. This is one thing that everybody told me I was a loser. Now I know I'm not a loser because I've completed something. This, I think, is real important.
Mm-hmm. Very good. They need a sense that they are making achievements.
Right.
And in goal setting, I think, too, the aspect of if they're always being sent back to their desk and saying, that's not good enough, you need to change that. We just are in reinforcing failure, negativism, And so to help find something good in what they're saying and kind of guide them in steps of helping that make it something that's achievable, something that is practical. I can finish this today, and at the end of the day, I can look back, and that leads into this point right here of measuring progress. How do we internalize something that we are teaching? How do we internalize it into their life? So that it's actually becoming a part of them. And just briefly, there are some thoughts that I wrote down here. One is, one way that we can help them to internalize it is by writing down. In other words, how do we measure their progress? One way they can measure it is by writing down what they've accomplished today. or have something that says my goal is to write something down. Maybe information, but at least I'm. Or another way that this takes place is through the final test. It's described in the scriptural memory manual here. As they take that final test, they are writing down a goal they put into practice and giving a situation where they actually applied that goal. So they are recording something that involved accomplishment. Another way might be through reflecting for the student at the end of the day to sit down and reflect back over the day. Okay, now this has been, maybe they are working on anger, okay, dealing with the subject or the emotion of anger. And at the end of the day, have them sit down and reflect back over the day. Okay, now where were all the times I got angry today? Okay, was there at least one time where I controlled myself better than I normally have in the past? Time can be another aspect here. We need to make sure we're giving them enough time to accomplish that goal. This week, let's work on this goal. If the schedule is so full, and to the directors maybe, we need to make sure that the schedule is not so full that we're not giving them enough time to apply goals that they are setting. If there is no time for them to put goals into practice, then that's all it is just paperwork and just goal setting. Discussing it with another person, or you as a teacher, you've worked with this person, you've helped them set this goal, and sometime during the day you see that they are doing this. Maybe their goal is to learn how to express happiness, and that's not what they, you know, maybe they're always stone-faced, and you just happen to see them sometime during the day smiling, and you walk up to them and say, did you realize that you're smiling? And since you've helped them with this goal, you can recognize that as it's taking place, that's also affirmation of what they're working on as far as growing. Through behavior, again, that kind of ties in with the last one. If their behavior is changing, it'll be measurable. You'll be able to notice the difference. A student may look back and say, boy, 2 months ago, I would have beat the guy up. You know, today, here I am listening to him. You know, so those are some areas along the lines of measuring it. The last one is this. Attitudes of the teacher, I think, is very important when it comes to goal setting. The teacher needs to be actively setting goals in his own life. If I'm not setting goals in my own life, it's going to be very hard for me to help someone do something that I'm not. Maybe I know, maybe I did it in the past, but what about right now? Okay, we are still growing as teachers. Also, being positive. Here we go again. You know, another day of personal studies and helping students with setting goals and all this, and it becomes old hat to us maybe. And yet, it's probably the first time that they've had a chance to work on this. So being enthusiastic about it, being positive, and also helping the student to use his own creativity. I think it's the teacher's responsibility to help them learn to direct goals in specific areas. It's the teacher's responsibility to relate it to, well, let's say, what are some areas that you're struggling with? What are some areas that you need help with? Or are wanting to grow in. Go back to the Scripture Memory Manual on the Special Projects. Page 14 says, list areas that are habits and problems that were controlling you before coming here. Those are good starting points for setting a goal. There may be other. Project 301 is another good example of a starting block, a tool that you can use to help the student who says, well, I don't know what goals to set. Using those tools that you already have, maybe in the group studies, using some of those tools and that, and the projects that they're working on as starting points and helping them set goals. That's basically all I had to share, and I think, Dave, at this point, you want to open it up for discussion panel?
Yeah. One of the activities that I would recommend for both teachers and students who have been in the program a little bit longer. He gave that list of, is there seven different kinds of goals, or seven different areas in which to set goals. One discipline that I found to be very helpful is to take a particular problem or a particular area of growth. Let's just take, for example, the area of being kind to my roommate, okay? And write a goal that would deal with each one of those different categories, dealing with that same issue. it can really help you to become more creative in looking at this one particular problem from nine different ways. And from that standpoint, it can get some of your students out of the rut who always write the same kinds of goals day after day or week after week. And also for you as a teacher, that discipline can really help you to come up with more ways of thinking about writing a goal. I know that after I had been working with this for several years and I would see a goal, I would immediately think, I felt that it needed revision. I could very quickly come up with four or five other ways of approaching that same issue. Whereas when I first started writing goals, it was like racking my brain just to think of one other way to say it. And I think the more you work at developing the skill of setting goals, the more effective you can be in helping them to come up with practical goals that will really help them to meet the need in their life.
I wanted to also add, I think a problem we have sometimes is we think that, and I've heard it a zillion times, that students that come into Teen Challenge drug addicts have never accomplished anything in their life. That's a lie. They've copped every day. So I think if you can bring that out, that they have accomplished things, it's a matter of motivation a lot of times. That when they wanted to get high, they accomplished that. It might be something negative, but I think it shows them, yeah, you do have the wherewithal to accomplish things. Maybe it was negative before, but you have it in you to accomplish something. And you haven't never accomplished goals. You haven't not done things. You've done them. They've been negative things, but you've done them. When you wanted something, you've done it. And so that much more with Christ in you, you have the wherewithal to accomplish things, and you can find goals, and you can be practical about it because you've been practical before. We just need to shift your focus. And I think we need to remember that as teachers. I think we come in, and I've had several guys tell me this, the exact thing. You know, sometimes you approach us like we've never done anything, or we're stone cold stupid people, or super failures, and maybe we failed in society's approach and God's standards, but we do have the ability to do things. And that really opened my eyes. You know, it's not like they don't know how to do things or they can't. It's a lot of times just motivation. And we can't give them that excuse. Oh, we've got to help this poor person. Super failure. You know, we're going to help you now to do something. It's something tiny and small, but it is something. When in fact, I think we can share with them, hey, you have that potential. Look at what you were able to do to get dope. Look what you were... You have a lot of creativity. Believe me, they have creativity. They've got more than I do a lot of times. I'm like amazed when they tell me some of their past and what they've done to get what they want. So it's there, and we have to show them, yeah, it's there. Now let's just reorient it for Jesus and to help you do constructive things.
Yeah, I'd like to make a comment. One of the things that... that we do from time to time in our center, and I need to do this again very soon, is I like to have a class on how to set personal application goals and go over it with all the students and with the teachers, because I know this session today is very helpful to all of you, but if you have to go back and work with each student individually and try to help them to set goals in these different areas that are mentioned, that's a lot of work. And if we can help them to see these different areas, that they don't have to just set one type of goal. A lot of them are just stuck and they have such a difficult time, and they find that there's one type of goal that you will always say is okay, so they'll write that same kind of goal every time. So, you know, that's what you're looking for. But yet we want to really help them apply some of these things to their lives in different areas. So what I've done is, I'm not sure which group study lesson it is. I think it's Successful Christian Living. It has a page that has a number of different things, of different types of goals. A lot of this type of information, but it has some other ideas on there as well. And I'll take that page and have everyone take a look at that page, and we'll go through that, the different types of goals. And we'll take some examples, as Dave mentioned, and set different kinds of goals using the helps that are on that page. And we'll also look at the back page of the Scripture Memorization Manual. And I find that really cuts down on our frustration as teachers when these guys have all these tools before them and they can look at it and say, well, hey, I can maybe set this kind of goal today on this. And we can just refer to those notes instead of having to teach each individual student these disciplines and how to go about it and try to ask the right questions so they can begin to see. So you might do that, and I think that can help you out a lot.
I'm really sold on helping the students be able to set goals for themselves. And I think that it's best to, as the student goes on in the program, to be less involved in actually setting the goal. You know, that the teacher is, there's less of the teacher and more of the student in setting the goal. And it's important that the student develops that skill of writing a personal application goal because it helps them to be a successful Christian. They're not going to have us when they get out of Teen Challenge. And so just like the thinking processes, if they're able to, you know, critique themselves and be able to apply Scripture to their life, have those types of skills, you know, it's the same with this kind of skill, that's going to be one of the tools or one of the keys in helping them to be a successful Christian apart from Teen Challenge.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Being a Teen Challenge graduate, this is for the people, is that these applications and the goals and all this stuff that they're saying is very important due to the fact that once you get out on the street and certain things start to come against you, what do you have to fall back on? And one of the things that I did fall back on was these classes, these personalization classes, these characteristic classes. This is what keeps me going. And I daily go back. Things, the Lord will bring back things to you that you were taught in these classes. And that when you come against, when Satan tries to put the enemy against you, you can stand and you can say, well, you know, I can't compromise this. A scripture come from memorizing scripture. You know, things that I have set goals for, and I realize this is a goal that I have set for myself, and that I'm not going to let this interfere with it. I'm going to continue with this goal. You know, dealing with, even with my wife, and dealing with my children, dealing with my job. You know what I mean? These are all things that you set goals for, and every day you set a goal, and these goals will keep you going, and it's all Jesus-based. This is why it's so important, and I'm just sitting here just thinking, man, you know, Lord, I thank you for
Amen.
This. I thank you for what Teen Challenge has done, and it keeps me going. So it's really important. But they're saying, believe me, it's the gospel. Please.
I just like to say, it takes a while for a student, you know, to begin to desire to set concrete goals that you might see as concrete. As we first come in the program, he's in a pattern of thinking. You know, he's in a set pattern of thinking. So it's important that the teacher be instrumental in helping him to begin the process in areas that will be easy for him, like things he liked to do, you know, more so than things that the teacher think he should be wanting to do in the beginning. You know, because it takes a while for him to, even now, you know, myself, I'm just beginning to really desire to do things, and I've been in the program a year and set solid goals. And what he was saying is I can identify with it that those goals sometimes even staying here that I've decided and built it in my life within this year that no matter what happened, I want to reach these goals, you know. So it's solid.
You know, one of the problems I've encountered, and I'd like to know if any of the other teachers have, is on your scripture memorization sheet, have you encountered where it says set three, what are three ways that you can put this scripture into practice? The word goal does just not register with some of them. You know, and right now they've got several thoughts. But they don't have goals, and I said, "Oh, is that what that means? Meant goal, three goals there." And I just wish we could limit and put the word goals to the ways there. can stand, because I believe it is confusing some of the students. They're obviously, not just some of them, a good bit of them. As well, when you first do it, you go over that manual with them and say, this is what it's supposed to be. And yes, and then they actually get them in there and they write down three ways, but not three goals. And then say, oh, that's what it meant. And they rewrite it and rewrite a good goal. Some of them do.
I have a comment regarding setting goals. Is it's very easy to set goals for specified scripture verses, and they're exposed to many verses in the course of a week. And you can have them working on 15, 20 goals in a period of a month, and it comes down to a priority. And I think that we also have to seek the Holy Spirit and get to know the individual enough where we have an overall strategy or goal for him, and that we develop smaller goals that help him achieve the larger goal. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we get into a point where he has 20 different goals with no actual direction, but we're not seeing growth, we're seeing frustration and aggravation and confusion.
I'd like to say something about that. One of the things that our staff has talked about, because we've had a problem with too many goals, is to discuss the goals of the students, and to, let's say, if I'm teaching anger and personal rights in group class, and there's a lady that in their PACE class, they're doing a character quality on meekness, the opposite of anger, then they could take one of those goals from their character quality and write it in one of their projects for group class, and, you know, kind of overlap. And something that Dave said was to take one goal, let's say dealing with anger, and write it in three different ways, having to do with their attitudes, their relationships, and, you know, something else. But to kind of combine some goals, too, that might help.
If I can just make a comment on that, too. I don't think we want the student to try and concoct as many new goals as he possibly can. I think it's helping him to relate to the areas that he is growing in right now. And in the group studies, like you were saying, complement the personal studies sometime. And to add another comment to that, as far as some longer range goals compared to short range goals, the learning contract offers goals for maybe a 4-week time period, 4 to 5 week time period. And then a lot of times I'll say, let's set short goals to help you reach that goal right there. Let's look at, you know, your verses, your character qualities, all in light of what you're wanting to drive at in that learning contract. Sorry.
I just wanted to confirm the learning contract. Can use that as a measure, as an overall goal. But also, one student so far, like my group of others, I just asked them in the very beginning, I gave them the phrase, I want. We call it 10 different ways. I want. I just had 10 of those. And I had to do 10 I needs. I need. And I got 10 I wants and 10 I needs. And then those are goals. And now when he has a problem with goals, I say, pull out your I wants and your I needs. And you pull them out again and you read through them again. Now, maybe 8 of them are no good, but 2 of them are fine. Some of those really relate to where he's at. And they're his own ideas, and, you know, especially where he's coming from, even in the first few days in the program. You assess them where 10 I need and 10 I want, you can get a real feel for where he's, what, how he's thinking and where he sees himself going anywhere.
We went down so far as to have the guy write down what time he's going to get up as a goal. I mean, you know, it's so basic. And write it down. I mean, tomorrow morning, you take it over at night, and then the next morning, just plan it out. When we get up tomorrow at 7 o'clock, 7:15 is the motion. You know, all this, you got to plan it out the whole day. Before you know it, you're putting in other things. I'm going to study the Bible at such and such a time. I'm going to go to class. I'm going to memorize the scripture.
Okay, we're going to wrap up this session on helping students set personal application goals.